Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the Cosmic Cow Pie Blog Talk Radio Show all around the world. I'm Cara Riley, and it's early in the morning in Denver, Colorado. I'm the founder of the Cosmic Cow Pie series and the Transition Living Real Estate team, and we are helping people of all ages transition in the cosmic cow pie of life. Now you may ask, what is a cow pie? And the answer is, it's a present left in the field by a cow. You got it. And we have a few of those to navigate in life. So our show features individuals that can help with ideas to create fun and balance in your life. Today, we are delighted to have Kez Wickman St. George from Perth, Western Australia on the show. She is an author, a 3D artist, and poet. The exciting message she has to share with us evolves around the fact that she's a vintage player or a classic citizen and started her new careers later in life. It's a 14-hour difference in Australia, so nighttime for her and early morning for us, and it's great to be able to connect through the Blog Talk Radio program. So without further ado, welcome Kez from Down Under.
Thank you, Cara. It's lovely to be talking to you. It's 18 degrees here in Australia, which makes it around about 65 degrees Celsius over your way, I guess. And it is around about, it's just on 10 o'clock here at night time. So everybody's very quiet in our street and fast asleep.
I'm so glad that you could stay up, because we had a little bit of time juggling to be able to communicate on different sides of the world, because it's just about going to bed and it'll be the next day for you. So here we are. I love your accent. That Down Under just makes us feel all warm and fuzzy when we listen to you. So I'm excited for you to share. I'm excited for you to share with our listeners how you started, how that creative ideas started happening with you, how you got into your beautiful three-dimensional artwork that is wearable, and your poetry. Tell us the story, Kez.
Well, I started when I was very, very young, and then became a mum and got married, became a mum, went to work, got a career as a teacher. And when I finished my teaching career when I was in my 40s, I had a car accident, so I spent some time at home. When I went back to work, I decided not to go back teaching. I wasn't enjoying it. So I went into event management for the Arthritis Society and had the best time ever. And that sort of trained me for social events. And then after that, it was like I've always doodled. I've always drawn little bits and pieces. All my children used to go crazy at me because I used to do all their school projects for them. I was the best artist in the family, so I did them. And it was like, I want to do something myself. So when I was home recouping from the accident, I wrote children's stories, put them in a book and put them aside. When I went back to work, sort of forgot about it. And when my husband decided to move to Perth for a job, and I would have been in my 50s then, so I decided to move with him. So we moved to Perth, and I made a very public declaration I was not going to be employed again. I didn't want to go back to work. I wanted to retire. So I came to Perth, got bored silly because my husband worked away from home, and decided to get out my easels and my ink canvases and did some work. After about a year, I was sort of discovered, I guess is what you'd call it, and a friend said to me, if I give you an exhibition, will you do a whole lot of paintings for me and come into my home and display them? I said, I sure would. And that's how it really started. And that was 13 years ago, and I've never really stopped. And the painting has really just transitioned from putting abstract on canvas into doing what I love to do, and that's floral art, and using a little bit of, symmetry with the floral art and feathers and flowers and dried flowers and using oils and all sorts. And it's my passion is using what the earth gives us, it leaves behind, like the birds and the flowers that leave us things behind. So I use them in my artwork. So that's it. That's how that one originated. And so the last exhibition was seven canvases only. And I have about three left in the house, which I don't want to give away because they're just too beautiful.
I hope that our listeners will look through the online link here for the show and see your beautiful work, because we have some of it shown on there. And I'll tell you what, when I look at it, I get a feeling, and it's this warm fuzzy feeling of beauty that it's kind of indescribable, because it's very, very unique. How did you, in this unique style, how did you come up with this, starting to add things to canvas to make it three-dimensional?
Not many people believe me, Cara, when I told them I had a dream.
Oh,
and in my dream,
that's exciting. I love that.
And in my dream, I had created a canvas. So I went out to my little work shed the following morning, and I thought, how am I going to do this? And I started from scratch, looking at things I had used all my life with painting, like just doing abstract. And I decided to use a flow method, which is pouring the paint and then literally just scraping things across it, so it makes like a sunset or whatever. Learning how to add a sculpted face. It took a while to teach myself to do all this, but that was the finished product, is what they see online.
Well, you know, it really, when I've talked with different artists, it really does come from within, that it's something that's inside of you that comes out on that canvas. You know, do you watch the different shows? We've got The Voice and we've got America's Got Talent. Do you ever watch those on TV?
I do.
Well, you know, all of the celebrities, they say that it has to come from your heart, whether it's an acting or whether it's singing. And I think it comes out in your art. That is your heart. It's right there. So I really love your unique style. So how did this change your life? And what is it you do? I see you're at book signings, and you did something in May, and I think you have something coming up in November. Tell us about all that and how your life runs with being an author, an artist, and a poet.
I get very busy at times, but you know, as within everyone's life, there's feast and there's famine. There are times when I just sit quietly and just write and know that I'm being guided to write. The same with my artwork. I know when it's time to go and paint. I know when it's time to sit and write. I haven't done poetry for a while, but I actually have a book out in the UK with some of my poems in it. It just makes me feel very fulfilled, and what I give people when it comes to my artwork and my books. The books I have out, the first three I ever wrote was about my travels all around Australia and New Zealand. And I have a lot of fun with it, because I'm not a person that sits there and thinks, what shall I write? I think I met such a funny person on this trip I did. And I like to write about the fun times, the sad times, the good and the bad times, and that's what life's all about.
Well, that's really interesting. And, you know, tell us about the inspiration you get. And I think if you can describe the geography from Australia to New Zealand, about how far is it from Perth to New Zealand, and what about nature has inspired you to write about this in your work?
It's an 8-hour plane ride from where I live in Perth to Auckland, New Zealand. So it's quite a long trip.
Oh, yeah.
So you take a blanket and a pillow and a sleeping pill if possible. And then you just get on the flight, and you know, landing in New Zealand is, if you've never done it, is just one of the most wonderful things you could ever do. You're greeted by a lot of Maori art in the airport, so it just takes my breath away. The transition of countryside. Australia is very flat and very wide and quite hot in places, unless you're living on the east of Australia, where you get a lot of different temperature ranges and you get snow and all the storms over that way. But where I live, it's very very hot. It can get extremely hot. You get your winter times here, but yeah, that wide open, the earth is red, the sky is blue, sometimes it's absolutely cloudless, and when you're driving into the country, you just feel this endless sense of euphoria. There's nothing like it. Whereas in New Zealand, it's very closed in, it's very hilly, it's very country, it's absolutely stunningly beautiful with country. As you can imagine what England would look like, well, that's what New Zealand looks like. It's all bush. Australia
and it's
isn't
all green,
bush.
Right? I mean, from the pictures I've seen, haven't been to New Zealand, but everything, it's green, lush, almost jungle-like, isn't it? With such
yeah,
deep,
well, as my husband said to me last time he went back, he said it was scary because it was so green.
Ah. Now, being on the west side of Australia, okay, because it's such a huge country. Now, are you close? You, when we were in the green room, we were talking about this is your typhoon season. This is spring. Is that right? And how close are
That's
you
right.
to some of that weather?
Very close at the moment, although it's very humid. So we know that when you look out in my backyard, the garden is absolutely blossoming, but the skies are grey and the winds are cold, and you know we're on the Indian Ocean. So you know that we get a lot of the storms over that way. They come over our country, they come over Perth City, and it can get very destructive. If it's that way inclined, you hold on to your hat more or less and hope for the best.
And so, so how far are you from the Indian Ocean where you are in Perth?
About 20 minutes.
Oh, wow. So do you go to the ocean then to get some inspiration with your work?
Always. Yes,
always.
I do.
It's just such a calming water, you know, when it's not raging, water has a very calming effect. So, okay, so now let's talk about the books you have written and your current bestseller. So let's tell our listeners about the ones you already have out there and then what you're doing with Sorcha.
Well, the first three books I wrote were all about my travels, and I put myself in a caravan as a widow, and I travel all over the place, and I meet a lot of people. And then my publisher in the UK got back to me, and he said to me, whenever you write a book, you seem to dip your toe into the supernatural. And I said, well, that's who I am. I like to have a bit of a play with words. And he said, so how about writing a book that's totally supernatural? So I went spiritual. Instead of talking about ghosts and stuff like that, I just went with spiritual, and I wrote about this woman that was my guide in the book. So I'm the heroine, and this woman called Tandy is in my book, and she gets me to scribe about a woman that could not tell her story in the 18th century. So, you know, I wrote all this down. I thought, so where do I go? Where do I go to find this woman that is couldn't talk and was a healer in the 18th century? So I Googled, and I came up with this beautiful story about a woman who was a healer and actually learnt, and this is a true story that I found online, she actually learnt how to cure breech births, and this is going in the 18th century, by mixing lavender oil and goose grease into a paste and inserting it into the woman while she gave a breech birth, and it helped the baby turn. And she was, because of her knowledge, she was classed as a witch, and she was killed. So I wrote about it in her words and how I thought Sorcha would talk. And so then it went back from Sorcha, it went back into why I was scribing, and it started on my life again, and, you know, the heroine of the book. So then after that, Sorcha was produced. I've just finished another one, again spiritual, called Indigo Child, which is about a transsexual arrangement in the Pacific Islands.
Wow, that sounds so interesting. The Sorcha really is you're being the scribe of someone who couldn't talk. So this woman who was actually killed as a witch couldn't speak. Is that correct?
No, she couldn't. No, she couldn't. She was forbidden to. She was forbidden to speak because the royals, and this is going back in I would say England, where the scene was set, you weren't allowed to talk to them. Apparently, I mean, I wasn't there, so I don't know. I can only go by what's written for me.
Yes,
but,
yes.
You know, it's it was a sad story, but I decided to write about it and make it known, and what this woman actually found in the herbs. And why I went with herbs is my mum was a want-to-be herbalist, but could never actually afford to do the herbalism courses. So she used to learn by teaching herself. And being related to Maori people in New Zealand, we used a lot of the Maori herbs for healing ourselves.
Oh, wow. Okay, so what you're drawing from is this, first of all, history, and then your own personal experience. So you're blending it to come out with this exciting message that people can use. I mean, literally, I mean, you take messages, I do, from all kinds of different things that, you know, I'm exposed to. And you've said the term Maui tribe. Is it a tribe or a clan that is in New Zealand? What do you call it?
My family, not myself. I am not Maori, but my family belong to the Tūhoe tribe in the North Island.
Okay, and that's in New Zealand, or is that in Australia?
Yes, it is. No, that's in
New Zealand.
I am actually, New Zealand, yeah.
Okay, and I think our listeners might be thinking, is she saying Maui, like M-A-U-I? And the answer is no. Can you spell the word Maori for our listeners?
Yes, yeah. M-A-O-R-I, Maori.
Okay, and that is the artwork that you see in the airport when you come in. So
that's right.
you're helping with a geography lesson here and some history of the tribal content of the continent there, you know. So that's really great that we're learning all of this. Now tell us about, you have three books before you wrote Sorcha. And
yes.
What were those? And those were children's books, or?
No, they were story books for adults, and they were about a widow whose husband died on the road. Now, I happened to have met this woman, and when she told me her story, I said, can I include it in my new book? Now, it was my very first book on writing as the lead character, not involving myself in the story whatsoever. So then I started collecting stories. So that was the first book, and that was called Metal Mermaid. And then when I finished that book, the next book was called The Cuppetry. And again, that was being on the road with a man in my life. Again, another story from another woman I'd heard. She'd spoken to me about it. So I just keep adding to the story, and, you know, what I do is I have actually been to these places and experienced some of these things, so I just added them to the book. So they all turned into lovely little stories. And the one after The Cuppetry was The Talking Stick. And so those are the first three books I wrote. And they're all about travels around New Zealand, Australia, and the last one, which was in the last book, Indigo Child, was in Fiji.
Well, now tell us a little bit about Indigo Child, and that one's just been published, right?
It has, yes. Indigo Child, sorry,
Go ahead.
Indigo Child is about a young woman who was brought up, and this may be hard to understand on the radio, but it's called a fa'afini, which means boy, girl, child. So if the last baby of the South Pacific family is a boy, it is brought up as a girl. Because it's always, it will help mum with everything. So it's called a fa'afini. So I wrote about the transition they have to go through from boy to girl.
Oh my gosh, that's pretty pertinent to today in some of the things that people are dealing with. So that's be a very interesting read. And now, is this based on facts or is this again fiction?
It's based on a fact that I knew about. When I Googled it, it verified it, that this does happen, because I have lived in Fiji, and I knew about it happened over there. And being a Kiwi, a New Zealander, we have a lot of South Pacific people living over there, so I knew what it was called. When I Googled it, it verified it. So then I just used that little verification to make a story about it.
Okay. What, spell that word, fa'afini. How do you spell that?
Oh, my goodness. It's fa'a. It's written in, F-A-A, fa'afini, F-I-N-E-I. I think that's correct. I haven't got the notes in front of me at the moment.
Okay,
but
so it's like fa'afini.
Yeah, so
I thought you were saying fat. You were right. It was hard on the radio, especially with your wonderful accent. So now, okay, so wow, you just really have some great things going on. Now, do you have an event coming up in November?
I do. It's called the Living Conscious Expo, and it's being held in Perth. It is a what they call a spiritual expo, but we have there's spiritualists, there's healers, there's the gongs, there's the bowl, crystal bowls being played. There's also this time there's a children's corner, but I have taken a stall out so I can showcase my books.
Oh, that's great. I saw that on some of the work that you've been doing. And so this is really interesting how you've combined all of your creativity into different outlets. Is there anything that you can share with our listeners? Because as people transition, you made the decision when you were teaching school, and where location were you in before you moved to Perth? Where were you?
I was in Auckland City.
Okay.
New
All
Zealand.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So how many hours drive is that from Auckland to Perth?
Auckland's in New Zealand and Perth's in
Australia.
Oh, Auckland,
New Zealand. Okay. So you were in New Zealand and then transitioned to – and how was that for you?
When I was teaching, I loved it. But I found that I'd been teaching for about 5 years. And I was teaching the what they call in New Zealand the unemployable. I was teaching them how to be motivated, how to go and get themselves a position in life. So when I had my car
accident,
were you working with
the indigenous group of people then? When you call them unemployment,
I was working. Multicultural.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
And that was a challenge.
Very much so, because I not only had Asians there, I had South Pacific Asians, I had Americans, I had Kiwis, I had all sorts from all different groups of life that had been made national members of New Zealand, and they'd come to my classes,
Oh, wow. So that really gives us this global sense of diversity. And so you've picked up and went with your husband from New Zealand to Australia. And then what went through your mind as you decided to become an entrepreneur rather than working for someone else?
What the hell am I doing with myself?
Okay, so we're just right there. This is good. I'm glad, because a lot of times that self-talk, you know, people have that. There's so much fear in changing to, you know, a different kind of employment or keeping yourself busy. And a lot of times when people retire, they have this same emotion. What the heck am I doing, you know? So how did you handle it? What was your self-talk to help you keep going, up every day and do something?
Well, as I said before, my husband didn't live with me. He worked way up north and way up in the wop-wops of Australia. So I was left in the suburb of Perth on my own, trying to make a life for myself. And it was getting up and knowing I could put paint onto canvas. It was getting up and knowing that I could actually go into the shopping mall and interact with people and listen, talk to, you know, I like talking to strangers. So I would talk to strangers, listen to their stories. I joined a writing class. I joined an art class. I joined a public speaking class. And I evolved the three together. To do my work, I had to do public speaking. I had to paint. And I had to tell a story with my artwork. So that's how it all evolved for me. I'm not one to think. I have tried to retire. I really have tried very hard to retire. But I don't know what retire means. So I just do
what you do, you know, one of the things I work with people is that really you have to identify your purpose no matter what your age, whether you're 52 or 92. To get up in the morning, unless you're just waiting to die, you have to have a purpose. You know, and going forward and in sharing your light, and you really are doing a fabulous job of sharing your light. Now, Kez, can you tell us your website so that people that are reading now are listening, they can maybe write it down. It actually is on the description of our radio show here, but go ahead and tell them your website link.
Okay, it's www.kezwickhamstgeorge.com.
Okay, perfect. And that's K-E-Z WickhamstGeorge.com. And again, if you're listening, you can go to the description of the show. Did I say it wrong?
No, you're right.
Oh, yeah. You can go to the description of the show, and there is a link right there so that you can see her fabulous work and all the different things that she's working on. And we're excited that you're going to be in the Living Conscious Expo. That's such a, you know, kind of an inspiring title to the expo that you're going to be in. And that's November, correct?
November 3rd, 4th, and 5th, yes.
Okay, that's great. And if someone was interested in buying any of your books, where would they go to get your books?
To my website. They just put
to
them in the
website.
Cart. They just order them. Yeah, put them in the cart and just buy them.
Okay. So are they also on Amazon or no?
No, they're not. My publisher has advised me not to do Amazon, so not yet.
Okay, so you need to go to KezWickhamstGeorge.com in order to buy any of her books that are sounding great, and her latest book, Sorcerer or Indigo Child. And Kez, it's just been a delight to talk to you from down under. And when are you going to make a U.S. tour?
When I'm invited.
Oh, okay. Better get some space up here. Maybe we can have a little consortium of authors from around the world. So thank you so much for staying up late for work to be on the show here. And we'll look forward to having you again. And to our listeners, thank you for listening to the Cosmic Cow Pie Blog Talk Radio Show. And follow us on our RSS feed so that you'll know exactly what artists or authors or people that we have that can help you with any kind of transition. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you all. Good night.